You know, one of the most important things that people who are successful do that unsuccessful people often do not do is to ask for help. It's not only biblical, it's just a smart thing to do. Hey, Dr. Randy here from the Intentional Living Center, and today we're going to talk about the power of asking for help. Now, what does that mean? How do you do that? Maybe you're a person that doesn't care to do that. It's uncomfortable for you to do that. You think it's weak. One of the things we've learned in our Western culture is to pull ourselves up by our own bootstraps. And in the process, I think sometimes we miss the powerful, beautiful, well, the intentional living of being able to share with others when we have a need and also sharing with others when they have a need. So we're going to hear those stories today. And we'd love to hear your comments on our comment line at 888-888-1717. That's 888-888-1717. You know, today's program is one of our best of from our archives because we had some powerful callers. I think that'll be very encouraging to you. In fact, I thought we could get started with Chad from Arizona. And so, Chad, let me welcome you to the program. I understand you and your wife are dealing with some money issues. Let's see if we can help you out a little bit. So go right ahead, my friend. Tell me what's going on in your life.
Well, I'll tell you that my problem is getting my angel to save money or to want to save. You know, we've been together for 8 years, and I'd hate to say she's not good with money, but she's a giver. So as much as I'd like to, my experience is saving money, and as much as I'd like to save even a little bit, just the look in her eyes when she gives it away is something that's hard to overcome.
Yeah. And so how old are you guys?
I'm 46.
Let me ask, how much do you have saved for the future?
Nothing.
So nothing for the future, and you want to save how much?
As much as possible. I mean, before we were together, and she's 10 years younger than me, I saved, in the tens of thousands, and now we're kind of week to week.
So you got together, and now the money you saved is gone.
No, not the money I saved. It was I'm a saver by heart, and just naturally. But since we've been together, we've been unable to save anything.
Hey, listen, we got some people who want to help you, Chad. I'm going to get to Mary Ellen and Valerie have already called and said, hey, I want to give some help. We'll get to your calls in a moment. I will add this. Whenever we say we've been unable to save, we're really saying we're choosing not to save. We just got to take responsibility. All people get a certain amount of money that comes in, or most people, and we either choose to save some of it or not. We choose to give some of it or not. We choose to live on the difference or we don't. It's a decision we make. And so I think the message is understanding that we approach money differently sometimes as husband and wife, but the decisions we make are our responsibility. And so, Mary Ellen, what do you think? What would you say to Chad to help him out today from Michigan? Go right ahead.
Well, hi, Dr. Randy. First of all, thank you so much for your program. I've been a listener for over 30 years.
Wow,
so
terrific.
What's the gentleman's name again?
Chad.
Chad. Yeah. Chad, my advice to you is I was married for almost 30 years to a wonderful man, and I'm a widow, but I am remarried now. And I learned how to save with my husband. And the key is to respect each other's gifts and to listen to each other's gifts. And I would encourage your wife to appreciate your gift of saving. I learned it, and I am both a saver and a giver. My husband and I were able to tithe for many, many years. And I was able to take care of him because he was a quadriplegic from MS, and I had to pay for a lot of care for him. And I couldn't have done any of that if we hadn't become savers. And I have money in the bank for retirement. And I'm also a very generous giver. My church calls me frequently when they need extra giving. So tell your wife, we can give more if you will trust me to save, because we can be even more generous to God's kingdom. Yeah. If you will allow us to become savers and givers.
And and the Bible teaches, Mary Ellen, that parents should be saving up for themselves and not the children taking care of the parents. We see that in Scripture. So parents, preparing for your own future is a wise thing. Now, let me ask you, your husband has passed, your first husband, but if he had not been a saver and had sort of just turned it over, whatever you want to do, what do you think would have happened?
Well, I probably wasn't just a giver. I also understood that saving was important. But I think what he taught me were certain principles to put into practice, such as with my paycheck, I automatically had things put into savings, making it difficult to touch, so that money I would just forget about. Mm. But he taught me certain principles of saving that made it easier to save. And I put those into practice. So he taught me a lot of things about how to save. And I was willing to learn. And then not be so impulsive in my giving. To listen more to the Holy Spirit and realize that you don't have to give to everyone. God will provide for people. You don't always have to be the one to provide. Other people will provide. Mm-hmm. And so I think, but a lot of it has to do with respecting your spouse and their gifts.
It does. Yeah, and not only that, Mary Ellen, but coming to some goals that you want to set out together to say, here's what we're going to do. And we have a program and then we follow it.
Exactly.
So we're not responding just emotionally. All right, Mary Ellen, thank you for your call. Let's see what Valerie wants to share with Chad. Valerie, welcome to the program from Arizona. Go ahead. What's your comment?
Hi, thank you for having me. I'm a single parent, full-time single mom. So saving and having money to live on is extremely important, but I also like being able to help where I can help. So I've jumped on the bandwagon of online mobile banking. I've only been on this bandwagon for a few months now, but because I get direct deposit, it's really easy just on the morning that I get paid to immediately go into the account, stash my 10% away for my tithing, and stash 10% away for savings.
That's good.
And then as I go through my week, whatever cash tips I get, then that's what I'm able to use to give when I see somebody in need. And I kind of don't like just giving money to when I see panhandlers on the street, but I've had people come walking up to me that were hungry, and so I took them into a restaurant and bought them food, you know, being able to do things like that.
That's good. Well, so you've got a great heart, but you also have a great head, Valerie, and because you're using your head to say, I've got a plan. When I get paid, I'm going to electronically save 10%. I'm going to, for tithing, I'm going to save, you know, for the future 10%, learn to live on that other 80%. And as I hear it, your tips and so on are used for special giving and so on. So you've got a plan, which is a head thing, but it allows you, what I hear you also have is an opportunity to express your heart. You take some of the tips and you have an opportunity to use that, but you're doing it with a plan. And I think that's so important. And it sounds like it's a plan that's been working for you for the last few months.
Well, it only comes from listening to you.
Well, listen, thank you for sharing that, Valerie. But a plan is, you know, the idea of having a goal and following it is a God thing. You know, that's very clear. So we're glad to be a mouthpiece. So what are some of the goals you have for this new year?
Well, I have almost enough saved up to where I can take half of it and invest in mutual funds and get that started rolling.
Good.
Continue to save and get a better house for my daughter and I.
Good for you.
So that's my goal, and I'm thanking God for introducing me for the husband that's coming.
He hasn't showed up yet?
No, he hasn't showed up yet. So.
Well, you're praying that he will, and when he does, your heart will be prepared. That's terrific. Thank you, Valerie. I appreciate your kind words about intentional living as well.
Well, thank you for having me, and thank you for what you taught me.
Glad to do it. This is Intentional Living.
Hey, did you know you're part of the family? Yeah, you. That's why you're listening right now. And here's a way you can really feel the familyness. Join Intentional Living on Facebook at facebook.com/intentionalliving. Just click like and instantly you'll have more than 100,000 other family members, including Dr. Randy, ready to encourage you in your intentional life. You never know. God might use you to encourage someone else. So come on in. That's Intentional Living on Facebook at facebook.com/intentionalliving.
Imagine two different people. Both love God and want His will for their lives. But one of them lives a life that's wrapped up in worries, fears, and the challenges of the day, while the other wakes up to an intentional life that's free from those burdens. In Dr. Randy's message, Intentional Living Will Change Your Life, you'll learn 5 steps to living an intentional life in Christ and how your life can be transformed.
We believe that when we understand God's intention for our life, not only is God given the glory for it, but our lives are better for it.
When you support Intentional Living right now with a monthly gift, you'll be a part of a special group that gets this message, along with unlimited access to Dr. Randy's exclusive content. So don't wait. Start the new year off right by living intentionally. Give now, and you'll get access to these helpful resources by calling 888-888-1717 today or visiting theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com.
Hey, thank you, Kurt. Great reminder. And I just want to say thank you to those of you who are joining us in support of the ministry. You hear us use the word intentional a lot because that's what we're all about here. And, you know, really, we all have a choice. We can either live an unintentional life, which leaves us scattered, jumping from one thing to another, a good intentioned life without action, which really leads to procrastination and mediocrity, or an intentional life in Christ, which is not about good works or it's not just about perfection. It's simply about living our lives in such a way that God gets the glory, as you heard in that clip, and we get the benefit. And we thank you for being a part of this ministry, helping people come to Christ and then live every day in their marriage and family in a way that pleases Him. Your support's needed today. You can join us. Call during West Coast business hours, 888-888-1717, 888-888-1717, or go to theintentionallife.com. And boy, thank you for your support.
Hi, Dr. Randy. I have a problem with depression, and I don't know how to ask anybody for help. You say, pray to God to ask, and He will help. Well, I prayed, and it's like God doesn't answer my prayers at all. I don't know what to do. Depression is overtaking me. I believe in God, but I don't believe that He wants to help me.
Hmm. Oh, boy. I wish I could talk to you live, Dee Dee. That was a comment left on our comment line. But if you're listening, Dee Dee, I would say this. When we talk about trusting God, praying and trusting God, that doesn't mean that we're in a cul-de-sac just going around in circles, just sitting and spinning our wheels. We trust God because ultimately we know there's a lot of things in life we have no control over. But if we're sick, we see a doctor. If we have a broken leg, we see a doctor. If we have a marriage problem, we get some help. Go to our pastor or counselor to work on our marriage. If we're discouraged, we find a friend to encourage. When we see a need, we fill it. We're not only heart people, but we're also hand people, that we're to be active and do things. And so my encouragement to you, Dee Dee, if you're listening today, that we realize that if you're depressed, that can be a clinical problem. That can be a medical problem where there's help available. And so I would encourage you to start in the process of talking to your medical doctor, talking to a counselor, talking to your pastor, and find some people who are going to help you put a plan together. If we wake up one day and we realize that we are ill, yes, we pray and we ask God to touch our body and we ask Him to heal, but we also are willing to go see the doctor to see if God is going to use that doctor to use that medicine as part of the process. He may or He may not. We're not God, but it becomes, I think, non-productive. It can become negative and frankly at times foolish for us not to step out and ask for some help when we need it. All right. Can we go to Samantha? I think Samantha's standing by in Michigan, who's on the line. Go right ahead, Samantha.
Actually, for the past couple days, I've been struggling. I'm a single mom.
Uh-huh.
I have a 5-year-old who has autism spectrum disorder.
Mm-hmm.
And I am the definition of prideful. I was raised by a single mom. We don't ask other people to help us. We're always able to help ourselves. And about a week ago now, I noticed that on my way to therapy for my son, he goes twice a week, my front tires were completely gone. The steel belts were showing everything, and I'm like, I didn't prepare for this. I didn't think, you know, oh, it's going to be almost wintertime in Michigan, and my tires are going to go bad. So I'm trying to come up with solutions, and God was like, you know, you really need to let this out. There's somebody that can help you. And I always keep everything in. So I put it on Facebook, and a couple days went by, and nothing happened. And I was like, you know what, it's okay. I kept praying about it. And a couple of my friends started looking for tires, nothing. And then this morning I was at work, and the Spirit just spoke to me, and it said, you know, God said, give everything unto the Lord, all of your worries, doubts, and fears, because they don't serve you. And about half an hour later, I got a message, and somebody was paying the entire amount for my tires to be done.
There you go. Amen. How's that feel?
I just realized I needed to humble myself so other people can lift me when I can't lift myself.
Mm. Oh, thank you, Samantha. Maybe it's tough for you to ask for help. You know, we're a self-sufficient group here in this country, aren't we? Even the Lone Ranger had Tonto, but we focus on the Lone Ranger type approach to life. And for some of us, come on now, it's hard for us to ask for help. I think Bob wants to weigh in on that same topic from Michigan with a comment. So, Bob, welcome. Appreciate your call on that. Go right ahead.
Yeah, you know, over my entire life, I guess humbly I say God's been giving me the gift of a giver. But that also comes with not wanting to ask for help, always feeling as if, you know, I wasn't really at the bottom and I had more than somebody else. And I'm 52, so it's taken my some years to come to the realization that you will get to a point where you need to ask for help. You might be going through a trial, but God will help you at any time, but he wants you to ask for help.
Are you doing it?
Yeah, I won't say it's easy. The transition's been good because it gives you hope you didn't have even when you're an optimistic person. To let somebody help you is a true blessing. And then thinking the other side of that, of how blessed you are when you help others. If you let somebody help you, they're going to get a blessing out of that also. So you don't want to shortchange anybody else either.
That's true. Hey, listen, appreciate that, Bob. Asking for help can be a difficult thing. One of the things about intentional living is if you need help, to ask for it. If you're not intentional in the process of doing that, it ain't going to happen. Because the fact is, most people just don't say, hey, can I help you, unless they sense that there's a need. But here's a truth. There are people standing in your world right now who are more than willing to help you if you ask for help. It's part of the, I think, part of the human condition that when someone asks for help, there are many people who are willing and able and capable of stepping up and helping out. Very powerful. Intentional living, what do you think about that? 888-888-1717. We're all here to help you have a great year living intentionally.
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Intentional Life Media and is made possible by the generous support of listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ. We are Intentional Living, and we'll be right back.
Do this one thing to help your child be successful this year at school. I am Dr. Randy Carlson with an Intentional Living Minute. I would encourage you to be very positive and also very encouraging with your child. And you do that by limiting the amount of media they consume. Hold them lovingly accountable for their own work. Get involved with the school and the teacher early on to know what's expected so you can track their progress through the year, but expect your child to succeed. And some ways that we do that is by not jumping in and doing the work for them when it comes due. You know what? Kids tend to live up to what's expected of them. We do the same as adults, don't we? So can I encourage you, as you get this new season of school started, be very encouraging. Be very clear with expectations and be very intentional.
For more insight and encouragement, go to theintentionallife.com.
We believe that you can start an intentional life in Christ today by allowing God to embrace you with his loving arms, by accepting his salvation, by enjoying his presence, and living daily by faith. we follow a command from Scripture that says to us in Ephesians 5:10 to figure out what will please Christ and then do it. And we subscribe to this because we know that this will bring glory to God. We also know that it will benefit our lives. And I would say to you today, if you don't know Jesus Christ personally, and if you've never had an encounter with the God of the universe, we would love to pray with you. We have a little booklet on our website at theintentionallife.com that says, take your first one step, your first one thing in your walk with Christ. And I'd encourage you to read that and download it. If you know someone who could benefit from that, I hope you would do that. But if you don't know Christ today, I would ask you today, you know, the first one intentional thing that you and I can do that can revolutionize our life, not only for today, but for all of eternity, is to give our life completely to Him.
Well, that's the first act, isn't it? When we realize we're at the end of ourselves because we're not adequate to live really a life that's going to give us the kind of purpose, fulfillment in our lives that God intends for us. That's why we say our mission really comes down to these seven words, and that's helping you experience life as God intended. And boy, when you're doing that, that's a sweet spot. Doesn't mean it's going to be perfect. You're still going to have problems. There's health issues and financial challenges and people to deal with. But you know what? When you can respond in such a way and live in such a way that it aligns with what Scripture teaches and what God's intention is, not only is it a sweet spot, it's a warm spot, a spot where you can find more comfort, peace, purpose in living your life. And we believe in that. And that's why the first step is to say, listen, God's first intention is you come to Him. The Bible says that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever, and that means you and me, whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It's the simplicity and yet the life-transforming power of the gospel, and available to you today to simply say, Lord Jesus, I'm done trying to do it my own way, and I ask you to come into my life, take control. And then every day, start growing in your relationship with Him, getting plugged into a community, a local church where the Bible's taught, and hopefully let this radio station be a part of your challenge every day to listen for 30 days and build your relationship with Him. Can I challenge some of you who believe in that message to come and join us? Your financial support today is really essential to help us underwrite the ministry. Your monthly support goes a long ways in reaching people. How do you do that? Call during West Coast business hours, 888-888-1717, 888-888-1717, or go on over to theintentionallife.com. And I just want to say on behalf of the entire team here, God bless you and thank you. Thank you for standing with us here at Intentional Living.
Hi, I have recently stopped smoking by the help of the Lord. I once quit for almost 2 years. I was a little stressed out, picked up the cigarette again, knew it was wrong, but did it anyway. And battled back and forth, patches, doing this, doing that, but my heart was never into it. But when I finally prayed about it, and I said, Lord, I said, make me whole. I want my body to be in line with your word and not be able to have anyone say, oh, she's a hypocrite because of. I prayed that way, and then the next morning, I kind of forgot I even smoked. It was a blessing, and God just really just took that craving, that urge, that desire, that everything away. So if He can do that for smoking, for everyone listening, who are we to say what He can't do, big, small? It doesn't matter. I mean, if He cared enough about my cravings, if He cared enough about my lungs, how much more does He care about?
Amen to that. That's great. Thank you. Let's go to Sonia in Kansas with a comment. Go right ahead, Sonia.
Yeah, I think it all started when I was a child. It seemed like I was put in a position where I was the first, and I ended up having more responsibility than a normal child, and really, my parents weren't really there at home to give me that type of guidance, so I ended up doing things a lot more.
So you became overly responsible.
Yes, and I think it hurt me because now that I'm a parent and I have a husband that's gone all the time, I'm now put in that role of having to take on more than when I need to. And then I get overwhelmed and stressed. And then I felt guilty because I'm like, wow, you know, I'm so used to doing everything. And then when I ask for help, I get, oh, well, I'm busy, da 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 da. And then it's something. And then I just let it go. And then I get upset when I why does anybody ever come to offer to help me? And then one thing that my husband tells me is, we need to move to around family, and then you'll get more help. And then I'm like, well, why don't they call? You know, do something to show that they care. You know, I don't know if this sounds weird, and I know this is an odd subject, but I just tend to be the people pleaser, and then I get upset when no one else offers. And then when I do ask, then I end up wanting to just take over and say, never mind, I'll do it myself, because you're just not going to do it right. And I don't know how to get over that. I don't know if it's a pride thing.
Oh, hey, listen, I'm chuckling with you, not at you, because I think if some of us get into that kind of a cycle where we have an expectation, we do something, then we're going to get a pat on the back. We may not feel it or say it, but, you know, we're not happy if we do something to help and then we don't get acknowledgement, and then yet we feel responsible to jump in and so on. And it gets to be a cycle that can be vicious, as some people say, right, going around and around. You're halfway there. I guess I would say to you, Sonia, that the fact that you're already around second or third base, you're aware of it, you see the pattern, and ask yourself, what one thing could you do over these next 30 days to break that pattern? In other words, break into that cycle and stop it. For instance, let's say when you see a need, instead of just jumping in and just saying, hey, I've got to do something, to back off and ask yourself the question, what's my motivation for doing this? Why am I doing this? How can I help them? Am I the only one, or am I the best one to help them? Do they even want my help? In other words, or whatever question it is that helps you stop and be very clear on the reason why you're doing it and the purpose on doing it, and what is my expectation after I've done it, and wherever the cycle is in that circle that you break in, change your thinking, change your behavior. That might be your one thing. Try it. I'd love to hear how it makes a difference for you, okay? All right, we're thinking from intentional living today, and we've had a lot of interesting calls, starting with Chad and he and his wife not being on the same page with money. We've talked about marriage relationships, talked about personal development. Intentional living is focuses on all the areas of your life. It's not just one area. It's not just money, or it's not just your health or just your work. When we think intentionally, when we do the next right one thing, when we set a one thing for every day in our life, for the most important thing for that day, we begin the process of being intentional. Join us on Facebook. We have daily help for you there at Facebook/intentional living. Lots at our website, theintentionallife.com. All of this made possible by our members and those in support of the ministry. God bless you, and we'll see you next time from Intentional Living.